June 23rd, 2016 was our Independence Day, a massive constitutional change. We chose to take back control of our laws, our money, our borders, and it was a truly extraordinary result because corporate Britain, our political parties, the mainstream were very against us leaving. Project Fear was exercised all through the campaign, outrageously, by the Chancellor of the time, George Osborne. And the British people literally stuck two fingers up to the establishment and voted Brexit by a clear margin. And I remember it very, very well, because for me, it was at the end of almost a quarter of a century of campaigning for a cause that I was told was hopeless. You know, Nigel, don't become the patron saint of lost causes. But we got there. So, yeah, I remember it vividly. I can't quite believe it's 10 years. It feels like yesterday. The problem with Brexit, I remember the next morning sitting down and we discussed the fact that delivery of Brexit was being handed back to the very people we'd had to fight to get a referendum in the first place and that in the main campaigned for Remain. The establishment were in control of Brexit. Theresa May was Prime Minister within a couple of weeks. She allowed Michel Barnier, the EU's chief negotiator, to set the agenda. And it was downhill from there, because basically the May government viewed Brexit as a damage limitation exercise, not as an opportunity. And you also, of course, on the other side, you had a speaker in John Bercow doing everything he could to try and get a second referendum voted for in Parliament. The Liberal Democrats, Scottish Nationalists, Plaid, and of course the Labour Party, and who was in charge for the Labour Party of the demand for a second referendum? Well, of course, it was one Keir Starmer. So half the establishment refused to accept the result, still refused 10 years on to accept the result. The other half, with the responsibility of carrying it out, well, it took us 3.5 years to kick them. The European elections of 2019, when the Brexit Party emerged and got rid of Mrs. May, that was the opportunity. Boris becomes Prime Minister, we leave the EU on the 31st of January 2020, and then we don't implement the realistic thoughts and hopes of British people. 10 years on, are there advantages? Yes, of course. You know, we've shown in foreign policy we can sign trade deals around the world. Couldn't do that as EU members. We've shown leadership over issues like Ukraine, which we couldn't have done under collective responsibility. The vaccine rollout, whatever you think of it, we were in a position far more quickly than the rest of the European Union to roll it out. Trade. Look at trade. You know, our trade with the world's increased more than the other countries. Even growth. Well, I'm not happy with UK growth, but our growth since Brexit, since that vote, is higher than Italy, Germany and France. But the realistic expectations of millions of people who turned out to vote, who don't normally vote, which gave us that big turnout, is the immigration numbers would be reversed. And frankly, the Boris wave, something the Johnson government was completely in charge of, is seen by many of us, myself included, as a total betrayal of the trust that was placed in them. Constitutionally, we've left. And I don't believe there's a chance of that being reversed. And of course, what the Starmer government was doing and what the next Prime Minister will probably do is to align us more closely with the European Union. That job has been made easier for them because the Conservatives didn't take us away. I mean, Kemi Badenoch, funny enough, she was the minister who could, at the stroke of a pen, have got rid of vast numbers of European laws but chose not to do it. So the fact we haven't moved away as far as we ought to have done makes it easier for a Labour government to take us back close. But all the while, we own the status quo. The leavers own the status quo. We can roll all of this back. And yes, it'll mean tough negotiations. And yes, it'll mean some arguments. And yes, it's going to mean some rows. But we have to exercise the freedoms that we've got. And that applies to business regulation and so many other things. I think the Rejoin the European Union lobby is a remarkably small one. Mostly based in central London, and they haven't got a chance of winning. It isn't going to happen. We've left. We're not going back. I'm not even sure they would want us back. And if we did try and go back, it would mean joining the euro at massive contributions of up to £20 billion every year. In any public debate, there's no way voters would buy that. So we're about to have our sixth Prime Minister in 7 years, our seventh in 10. We used to mock Italy, having a new Prime Minister every year. We're now in that position. Truth of what happened is, Brexit was an earthquake in British politics. I'd been promising that for some years before. And we're still seeing the aftershocks. Why is Starmer gone? Well, yes, he wasn't up to the job. But on May the 7th, we wiped the Labour Party out in the North West, the North East, Yorkshire, parts of the West Midlands, bits of South Wales. They were all traditional Labour areas, but they were all Brexit voting areas. And so the two-party system just has not survived Brexit. And I think we're seeing the beginnings of a total reorientation of the British political system. It's not about Brexit as such. It's about the thought processes that led to you either supporting Leave or Remain. It's totally transformed British politics. At the moment, it looks ungovernable, but it will sort itself out.